Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and it's also Mission Sunday. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and talk about what it means to be a servant of God. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Husbands and wives, this is for you. No matter how long you've been married, why not consider a marriage encounter weekend? For you and your spouse to rediscover, deepen, and enrich your relationship, improve communication, and focus on each other, all free of distractions. The next Worldwide Marriage Encounter Weekend is set for November 6th through 8th at the Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana. To register, visit mecorpuschristi.org. Or you can call Nelda and Rolando Garza, 851-8306. It's your marriage, and you're worth it. Both of you.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. And you?
I'm doing well, thank you. But, you know, considering that we're towards the end of October, I would have hoped that we would have had a little bit more cooler weather than rather 90-degree weather that we had this week.
Yes. Well, it's better than it was during the summer. I think we always have to make comparisons here. It was better than this August.
That's right. We're making progress weather-wise. Right. Well, again, we have another wonderful gospel from St. Mark. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. He replied, What do you wish me to do for you? And they answered him, Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said to him, We can. Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be like that among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the beginning of this gospel, it's interesting. It reads to me that James and John were asking Jesus for a little preferential treatment.
They were, and the background in some ways is that I wouldn't say they came from a noble class, but they certainly, their father had enough for servants in the house or around the He was able to employ other people, so they were not people of great means, but they certainly were not hurting. And so it's kind of that idea of we want a little bit of preferential treatment since mm-hmm. we come from a little bit of means. What I find interesting is that in the Gospel of Matthew, which also reports this scene with James and John, that it's not the two brothers that ask directly to Jesus for this favor, but it's their mother.
Really? Interesting.
If you remember that, it's a very unique thing. And probably Matthew was trying to soften. These are apostles. These are disciples. So he wants to kind of soften the blow on the fact that here they are called into a life of service, and yet they're asking for favors. But St. Mark doesn't mix words. He just puts it in their mouth that they're the ones who ask to have this, as you said, preferential treatment. And I always like the way that Jesus responds. He doesn't just say no.
Right.
He uses that as an opportunity to explain to them what it means to follow him, what it means to be a man or woman of faith. It's important, I think, that we read all of these Gospels in the light of faith. And so Jesus uses this as an opportunity to help them to grow in a true faith. So he simply asks them, you don't know what you're asking, or telling them that you don't know what you're asking, and then says, can you drink the cup that I will drink? And of course, they may have remembered Psalm 23, which says, my cup overflows, so it's an abundance. And of course, anybody would say, yes, well, of course, bring it on. Thinking of it in terms of glory, of happiness, of life, of all these things. And then, can you be baptized in the baptism with which I will be baptized? And of course, they don't understand what that means, but it means, can you thrust yourself totally into the experience of life, everything that Jesus' life is about? And of course, they're attracted to his word, to him as a person. And so they say, yes, you know, we can drink the cup and we can be baptized. Only finding out later, of course, with time, and of course they were both martyred, in time finding out that this is not the road that they thought.
They thought it would be an easy path.
It would be an easy path. So they found out differently. But at the same time, Jesus takes the time to explain another lesson to them, because there was a reaction. As we see further on in the gospel, there was a reaction from the others who...
I like to think they were a little annoyed.
Probably annoyed, you can almost kind of see them on the sidelines watching this scene.
And whispering to the side, like, can you believe they're doing this?
Yeah, among themselves, yeah. So Jesus again takes another opportunity to kind of overturn the standards of life that one has. It's oftentimes where people try to see that the goal in life is to have other people's brought into service to me instead of me becoming the servant of others.
Right.
It's moving from a more self-centered life to a life of service. And so Jesus simply says that the rulers of this earth, of course, he's also pointing to the next life, that it's not going to be, everything's going to be overturned. And I just kind of, in a little parentheses, look at, you know, all the debates and everything that we're going through the presidential elections and state and local elections and all the things that we are, which is the role of politics and the role of leadership in the world, is to seek justice and order among life. But it doesn't end there. And that's where sometimes we get short-sighted in any kind of service organization, as we think it all ends right there. And so the standards are, you know, the one that has the most power is the one who's able to assist or to help. And of course, if it goes awry, it becomes self-serving.
Exactly.
Anyway, in the parentheses. But Jesus' standards are much different. That his standards, the standard of the true disciple of Christ, the man and woman of faith, is to serve the others and be the, and he even uses the word, to be the slave of others. So anyone among you who wants to be great, who wants to really serve, who really wants to be recognized, is to be a servant of the others. This is a total turnaround, even in our own mentality today. It's not about getting to the top first. It's about serving, serving, serving. And that's where we really need to reexamine ourselves in our life. And when you're in that environment and you really look at the people in our own community there and at other places who are really at the service of their brothers and sisters, not for recognition, not to get an award, not for anything else, but humble, humble service, those are the great ones in our community. no matter, you know, whatever level we are, if we are at service to our brothers and sisters, that is our greatness. That's the standard bearer for being a Christian alive in the world today.
And we've talked about this before, about protecting and taking care of the vulnerable. And of course, most certainly at the Mother Teresa Day Shelter, it is taking care of the vulnerable,
sure,
making sure that they're sheltered. And at Catholic Charities, it's helping those of our brothers and sisters that have fallen on hard times,
sure,
and need,
sure,
a hand up instead of a handout.
And there are others that, you know, other agencies and
oh my
community
gosh,
organizations
so
throughout our community that really, really do that. And to do it with that sense of faith and service is adds that extra dimension to it. So it's really beautiful to see. And of course, for us, that last sentence of the gospel today, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is something, you know, during the year of faith, especially, we need to take these words and really absorb them and look at the implications. Look at what was being said. It's not just a sentence. The Son of Man, who is the Son of Man, but God himself.
Right.
God himself stooped down, took the form of a human being, according to Philippians. He became one of us in all things but sin. And so God reduced himself from the divinity to the humanity, to share in our humanity, not to be served, not to be recognized, not to be held up as, you know, the king and ruler. As
put on a pedestal, so to speak.
Put on a pedestal, as many mistakenly during his time tried to do, but he came to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the image of Jesus at the Last Supper washing the feet of his disciples. This is God washing human beings' feet. And so this is really our image that we should keep in front of us in our life, wherever, in the family. You know, people think, well, to serve is to serve somewhere in an extraordinary place. No, service is right there in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to serve out of faith, to serve out of love for the family members that you have, no matter what age they are. This is in the light of the Son of Man, of God who has come a human being. I admire many times just a parent who, you know, busy, sophisticated, whatever position we are as an adult, but to be able just to get on their hands and knees and play like a child.
Right.
That's reducing ourselves, you know, from a human standard of a certain expectation.
Or adult standard.
An adult standard to the standard of a child.
Right.
And it's in that humility, serving that child, making them laugh, playing with them, whatever it is. That's really the image of someone who realizes that they're there to serve, not to be served. And those are beautiful images that we should always look for wherever we are, or even at work. You know, we have different positions in work, different standards in work, but even offering a cup of coffee to a coworker out of love is an act of faith. It's an act of service in the image of the gospel today. So I think if we all kind of this year, especially during the year of faith, really looked for these opportunities to serve in humility, not to be recognized, but in the recognition of God becoming man in Jesus Christ.
And as you mentioned, it doesn't have to be something big. It can be something small at home.
Absolutely.
Some place to start.
Sure.
We are going to take a short break, and we will return and talk more about what it means to be a servant of God. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Waited all year long for the annual Greek Festival at St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church, and now it's just around the corner. November 6th through 8th are the dates for you to sample the great traditional foods such as souvlaki, the stuffed grape leaves, pastizio, and all the great pastries including baklava, chocolate baklava, and back again this year, baklava cheesecake. There'll be exhibition Greek folk dancing throughout the festival by Hellenic dancers of St. Nicholas and Greek music performed live by the Themios Bertalis Band from San Antonio. Tours of the church at 502 South Chaparral will also be available. For complete information on this year's Greek festival, call 883-9843.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, we're continuing our conversation on what it means to be a servant of God. And as we were discussing before the break, the word came to me, entitlement. And, mm-hmm. you know, we hear a lot about that word. Exactly right. What does that mean?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I was kind of thinking the same thing this morning as I was going back to the attitude of James and John asking for, you know, this place of honor. And I think in the climate today, we think of entitlement as people wanting to receive something that they don't have. So this kind of from the end of those who are lacking feel entitled to something. But it also goes the other way.
Right.
Those who have positions in life, those who have a certain standard of living, may feel entitled to go to the front of the line, to be given a seat of honor, etc. And so entitlement is, I think, a human. It's a word that we use politically today, especially in the election times. But we all have that sense within us that we're entitled to something.
Because of where we are.
Because of where we are. Either we don't have, or we have too much.
Right.
Or we're somewhere in the middle. Everyone kind of, I think, in a sense, entitled to be recognized, entitled to receive a certain honor or a certain amount of financial assistance. I mean, it's across the spectrum. So it's not right. just one group of people that may have this sense of entitlement. And I think this gospel really dispels that mentality, that once we come into that kind of self-centered mentality that somebody owes me something at whatever level, if it's just even a, like I said, a trophy.
Right.
Once we get into the sense of I am owed something, we've turned in on ourselves. We've become self-serving. And this gospel really turns this around. James and John felt that they were entitled for whatever reason. I said because their father had a certain means, but it could have been for other reasons.
Right.
But Jesus, throughout this whole gospel, as he's talking, it turns that sense around. And this might sound strong, but I think, you know, it's something that that we should keep in mind, especially during the year of faith, because this year of faith is about conversion, of change. And going back to the true meaning of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a Catholic. And so what is our only entitlement? Our only entitlement is to serve. And I just want to say that again very clearly, that our only entitlement in this world is to serve. To serve others, to serve God and serve each other. That's where our richness is. I mean, I know that you and I have talked many, many times and at the Catholic Charities Dinner this past week. You see it, that people who come to serve others are filled with joy. It's not that they said, I deserve a life of joy. I deserve a life of happiness. They found it through service. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us today. The Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. He didn't come entitled to be put on a pedestal, as you put earlier, but he came to serve. And that's where we find our humanity. The beauty of to me, the gospel, is that once we embrace it, and once we dissect it, I would say, put it into our life, we discover true humanity. We discover what it truly means to be a human being. It's not that somebody can give that to us at whatever level of society or wherever we are in the spectrum, whatever our level of faith or participation in church is. It's not something that's given to us. It's something that we experience. And so the call of Jesus today to serve, that you're only right is to serve. That's where we find all these things we're looking for. Looking for peace, looking for joy, looking for happiness, looking for freedom. It's not in being given those things, as though some law can give us freedom and happiness and joy. That's why Jesus said in the Gospels, there's two gifts that I can give you that the world can't, peace and joy. And that comes through taking off that outer garment and serving our brothers and sisters. I've also remembered so many times the gospel of the servant who comes in from the field, and Jesus says, what do they deserve? That they sit down and the master serves the servant? No. They come in and they continue to serve.
Right.
They'll be served later. But that's the way he says it must be with you, that you're there to serve.
Right.
And of course, then we have to give people the other chance to serve us sometimes.
I mean,
our pride can get in the way, on the other hand, and we don't want anybody to do anything for us. Well, that's pride.
And it's a give and take, too.
Sure. It's a mutual, and that's why we're called to a life of communion, mm-hmm. of giving and receiving. But anyway, I think that was interesting. You brought up that word entitlement, because we do kind of hammer that a lot. But I think it's important that we all realize that if we look at ourselves and we come to know ourselves, we all have a sense of feeling entitled to something. And that's what Jesus is trying to root out in our life through this gospel today. We're not entitled. The only entitlement we have is entitlement to serve.
Right.
And in that, we'll find everything.
Right, right. And when you talk about volunteering and whatever that may be, each one of us will find our own passions as to what we like to do.
And talents. Sure,
and talents.
And
right.
I think part of this gospel, too, is really speaking of the will of God. And it's something that we tend to just kind of write off and, well, how would I ever know the will of God? Well, you'll know the will of God if you serve. You'll find even that. And that will be directed. How many times I've seen for myself, I mean, I thought I would be, you know, a priest in a parish all my life. But you'd start doing that, and then you're led here, and then you're led here. And, you know, I ended up teaching in a high school. I taught in a seminary. I was the youth director for a while, in administration. And you never know. But once you start, the Lord shows you the way.
Shows you the way. That's exactly
to
right.
To follow, sure.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, and I think this gospel, of course, is perfect for this Sunday, because I mentioned at the beginning this is World Mission Day.
Right. And I think, I think sometimes we think of the missions or missionaries as somebody else. In the last number of years, the church has reminded us that we are all missionaries. And I think once we take that yoke upon ourselves, and today especially during this year of faith, I would remind all of us that we are missionaries. Every one of us, because a missionary is one who is sent to bring the gospel to others. We can't, at the end of Mass, say, okay, Mass is over, go. It's now go proclaim.
Right.
Now live with joy the life that you have, the gospel that you have heard, to live that. I found it interesting in a letter that Pope Benedict wrote for Mission Sunday. He goes back and he quotes Pope Paul VI in a very beautiful document that he wrote, I believe, in 1977, Evangelii Nuntiandi, which is the new evangelization, announcing the gospel. And he said, it is not an optional contribution for the church. It is the duty incumbent on her by the command of the Lord Jesus, so that people can believe and be saved. This message is indeed necessary. It is unique. It cannot be replaced. All that meaning that it is incumbent upon all of us to be a presence to others as people renewed by the gospel, as people who are convicted and convinced of the gospel, who live the gospel, because that presence is a missionary presence affecting other people. Bringing other people to Christ. You know, we can sit in our room or at church on Sunday and complain about who's not there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
A missionary goes to those who are not there. A missionary goes to lands where Christ is not heard. And so if we are saying, well, in complaining about who's not there or family members, you're the missionary. I'm the missionary. And so the way I live, the way I embrace the gospel, and my cup overflows with the gospel, I am a missionary bringing Christ to them, bringing them back to the faith that they may have once had. And so I would invite all of us to really embrace that life. Nothing has to change in our external life. It's the internal. It's the inside. To be a true missionary, a true disciple, a true servant, and through that life experience, that life witness, bring Christ to others.
That's beautiful, and we can do it right here. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty ever-living God, grant that we may always conform our will to yours and serve your majesty in sincerity of heart. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.